We often wonder why we have so much trouble communicating with each other. Sometimes it's due to not listening or due to heavy accents or maybe talking too fast. But one problem that we have, and it's one that's really important, is we don't have the same foundation or the same starting point. If I were to ask you to make a list of me for of your friends, you would have to agree with me on what a friend is. And you know, we must be able to have some kind of a common ground in order to build on it. One example would be the Samaritan woman with Jesus at the well in John chapter 4. But a question comes to mind. How long is this line? Now, I might take a poll, and several of you have different ideas on how long it is. But the question really comes down to this. How long is an inch? I might say that's an inch. Now, you wouldn't agree with me. You'd say, well, no, that's several inches. Or maybe that's an inch and a half. But I said it's an inch. Would that make it an inch? No. We have to agree on a standard of authority in order to make this determination. We must understand what authority is and what need we have for it. Some people don't seem to think there's anything such as authority because they don't want any authority. Anarchists are people who deny all authority. They rebel against every source of authority. And unfortunately, in the religious world, this is just as true as it is in the secular world. But there are practical needs that are covered by authority. In Leviticus 19, 35 through 37, you shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Now, did you notice what authority does? Authority sets standards. No matter where you would go in Israel, you would find the same weights, the same scales, the same ephah, the same hin, and so forth, anywhere you went. Now, if they found a person who was using a dishonest weight measurement or a dishonest volume measurement, hins and ephahs, they would punish them severely. Not only because they were cheating people, because they were violating God's law. Yeah, that's right. It's God's law. Now, what this shows us is that there must be a standard for time. Think about it. How long is a second? How long is a minute? How long is an hour? How long is a day? And when you get all that figured out, you have to agree on time zones. What time zone are you in? You know? All these things have to be established by authority. And we must, just like they did under the law of Moses, have the same weights and money. We don't all decide, well, I'm going to say that this bill with one on it here is a $100 bill. That won't work. No. Why? Because in this land that we live in, that's a dollar. It's $1. Not worth much, really. But $1. In our country, in order to establish the authority of measurement, we have standard of weights and measures in our country. In Proverbs 11 and 16, verse 11, he talks about honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His. Well, we have that today. We have it today. The weights and measures division promotes uniformity in U.S. weights and measures, regulations, and standards to achieve equity between buyers and sellers in the marketplace. This is a stated purpose of weights and measures. And you might notice when you drive through the city that occasionally your favorite gas station is closed. Right in the middle of the day. And you go, why is it closed? What? You know what happened? They're in there with weights and measures checking if they're pumping a gallon out of that thing. And they check them regularly and they certify them. Little old sticker goes on there. And you'd be glad for it. Hate to have a guy pumping out half a gallon and say it's a gallon. Gas is expensive enough as it is. But you understand the need for this. You have confidence that when you buy something, that it will be what it claims to be. And you know, many times you've even heard companies that have been challenged. Well, this isn't measuring up, or this isn't what you're claiming it is. We have protection for that. Weights and measures on a national level, now of course we have it locally and national, is organized by state and local measurements and government measurements and Bureau of Standards. Bureau of Standards. You want to know how much a gallon is? Somewhere there's a gallon and that everything's measured from that. That's right. Everything's measured from that. If you want to know if this is a gallon, you compare it to the standard. You want to know if this is a pound of weight, you measure it to the standard. And so it is in our country. We have uniform laws and regulations and methods of practice, too. Now, you know something about this? Standards are not set by feelings. Well, I feel this is a gallon. I think this, or I feel this is an inch. Yeah. No, not set by feelings. And it's not set by family tradition. Well, my family's always said that that's a gallon, so that's a gallon. Well, no, that doesn't work. No, no. And not because your parents said so. Why, my parents always told me that was an inch, and I don't want to dishonor my parents. It's an inch. No, that won't work. And it's not set by whoever owns the business. In this store, this is a pound. No, you can't work like that. You have to measure it from the standard. Now, what do we say all that for? Well, there's a need for standard in religion as well. There's a need for a standard. Needed in the days of Joshua. In Joshua, or Judges, chapter 21, 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And listen to what the mess was. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Idolatry, immoral behavior, murder, apostasy and religion, all developed. Why? Because everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's anarchy. That's anarchy. But Paul describes what happened to people who went that way. And it's not a pretty picture. I'm only going to take a part of this because I don't want to prevail upon your time. But start with verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. And let's read through this. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, nor became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, now listen to this, God gave them up. You hear that? God gave them up, what? To uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. Did you know? It's not just talking about people engaged in those evil things. It's talking about people who approve of those who practice them. They want no standard. They won't accept any authority. Well, the question for us today is, what is an inch in religion? Well, let's go to the basics. The basics. God is our Creator. And as such, He has the right to command all mankind. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know what, Edward? That's a song I should have had you lead this morning. I forgot all about that. You know what? It's a little short one. It's about that long. But this, it describes the condition we find ourselves in. We are at God's mercy. The Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. The Bible describes God, this button's not working, God as the potter and Israel as the clay. There's another song good with that. Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his master or his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? The problem is when the clay tells the potter what it wants and what it decides. Did we see that happen with Israel? Yes, we did, didn't we? Israel rebelled against God and they were punished for it. And that brings us to another point. God has the ability to both reward and to punish. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 24, the record says, then the fingers of the hand, this is Nebuchadnezzar's, Belshazzar's. I get those confused. Belshazzar's image that came, and he was troubled by it. But the fingers of the hand were sent from God, and this writing was on the wall. And this is the inscription. Mene, Mene, Tikal, Upharsin. Thus, the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tikal, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. God can reward and God can punish. It was by God's grace that Belshazzar had that kingdom. And it was God, by God's decision, he was taken away from him. When God says it, it's settled. This rules out feelings, family, traditions, parents, and the owners. Totally rules them out. Now, what is the right standard then? Well, the Bible is the final authority in everything that we say and do. The final source of authority. We cannot go to another source of authority. It is going to guide us in our life and will take us into eternity. And Jesus used the scriptures in an authoritative way. I want you to notice this now. Jesus, by using the scriptures, placed his stamp of approval on them. Do you get that? When he cited Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, have you not never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's a marvelous in our eyes. He quoted that prophecy and stamped his approval on that prophecy. And in Matthew 19 and verse 4, he answered and said, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? Who said that? Well, that was in the beginning. How did he know that? Well, that's what Moses recorded. What does that mean about Moses? His scriptures were inspired. Now, many other such passages, we could cite them all day long, but many other such passages could be cited, but this suffices enough to tell us that Jesus recognized the scriptures as being authoritative. But what about us today? That's the Old Testament we're talking about. What about us today? Well, this would include the writings of the apostles as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27, the apostle Paul told the brethren at Thessalonica, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Why did he want this read? What was contained in this that was so important? Well, we find out that has something to do with the Holy Spirit revealing it to them. Read John 16, verse 7 with me. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking now. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now go on down to verse 13. We're going to do this for the sake of time. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, what did Jesus promise them? He promised them that the Holy Spirit would guide them into some of the truth. Oh, no, that's not what it says. The Holy Spirit would guide them into the majority of the truth. No, that isn't what they said. He says the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. Based on this passage of Scripture right here, I must conclude and can draw no other conclusion that when the last apostle died on the face of the earth, the last apostle died, that all truth had been revealed. If there was any truth that was revealed after the last apostle died, Jesus told us a lie. He told the apostles the Holy Spirit would guide them into all the truth, i.e., whatever truth there is to be had, it'll be revealed to you. And when they died, no more truth was revealed. Now, what does that rule out then? Well, it rules out the creeds of men written many years after the death of the last apostle. It rules out family traditions. It rules out modern day revelation. It rules out what our parents taught us. All ruled out. All truth is contained in the Scriptures. If it's not in the Scriptures, it's not the truth. It may look good, it may seem good, it may be what you like, but then again, I'd like for less gas to be a gallon. No, you wouldn't. Why? You'd pay through the nose for it. You want the standard. You want it to be right. And when those fellas are down there pumping that gas out, you want them to do their job and do it right. Because when you get your next gallon of gas, you want it to be honest. Honest. When we talk about authority, we can't leave Jesus out of the picture. He's the one who promised the Holy Spirit to come. He's the one that told the apostles they would be guided into all the truth. So ultimately, Jesus is the right standard. God sent His Son. And the Bible speaks often in prophecy about the Messiah. And we are to listen to God when He says in Matthew 7, this is 7 verse 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Why, well, don't we listen to Moses anymore? No, Moses has served his purpose. Don't we listen to the prophets anymore? No, they've served their purpose. Who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. We listen to Jesus. We listen to the words that Jesus spoke. We follow His example. First of all, we'll go back to the words here. I skipped over John 12. I want to talk about it a little bit. John 12, 48 through 50. I want you to read this with me. Now listen carefully. He who rejects me, that's Jesus now, and does not receive my words, that's Jesus' words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Why? For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say, or what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, when Jesus said that his words would judge you in the last day, he explains why. It's not just because he was Jesus and he was a great man. No, I wasn't it. It's because the Father sent him to say these things. And what he said, the Father told him to say. And the Father was pleased with him because he said just exactly what he told him. Just exactly what he told him. So why not follow his example? Why not follow his example? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, what were his steps? Who committed no sin? Follow in his steps. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. Follow in his steps. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Follow in his steps. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. It's getting harder, isn't it? Follow in his steps. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's not easy following in his steps. It's not easy living a life without sin. Every one of you can verify that. Not easy. But we're asked to do it. By whom? By the one who has walked this path, who has lived this life. He knows what our weaknesses are, but he did it without sin and ascended to the right hand of the Father. This rules out conclusively all Latter-day prophets. No matter what they say, no matter who they are, they can't tell us anything new. Can't tell us anything new. And it rules out any of those who contradict Jesus or the Holy Spirit in any way. Man comes along, I got a better idea, I'll tell you how to do it. No, you don't want to hear that. You want to go back to the old paths. You want to find out what Jesus said and do it his way. It rules out modern day preachers. And boy, it doesn't matter how charismatic they are. They may tell you, see, what's the quote? God loves you and I love you, and God wants you to be rich. All right. Now, I'll tell you, that really appeals to many people. But that's not God's word. That's not God's word. And it positively contradicts or rules out all family traditions and parents, whatever they've taught us. Everything's ruled out. Jesus is the standard. Now, once the standard has been determined, we can apply it to all situations. Think about that. If you get a standard that you can apply to all situations, you don't need anything else, do you? You don't need anything else. In fact, If all men would settle on the one standard and apply it to all situations, do you know what would happen? There'd be religious harmony. There'd be religious harmony. Because everyone would be applying the standard equally, obeying God, walking in His paths, nobody using a different standard. Now, question. How about you? Well, what do you mean? What standard do you apply to yourself? Do you measure yourself by the divine standard in everything that you say and do? Or do you say, well, I'll do a little bit of what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do over here. God won't settle for that. He won't settle for it. It's all or nothing at all. Why not submit yourself to the divine standard? Why not give yourself an humble obedience to Jesus, who calls upon you to hear the word, believe it with all your heart, and to be baptized for remission of your sins? What's difficult about that? Nothing. It's submission to His will.